Okay, skin answer.
All
right, again, the shiur is sponsored by the Greensteins, memory of Yomi Yosef Nachman Gershon. Breakfast is Lili Nishmas Yosef Yitzhak Ben Yehuda Leib, Rosh Lema for Shalom Tzvi Leib Malach Ben Malka. All right, we left off last time on Shavuos, on Yud Beis Amud Beis, toward the bottom. The Mishnah had just said, remember we're talking about different sets of ta'anisim, ta'aniyos that happen when there's no rain, when the rain doesn't start on time, but when there's a drought. Then there's an escalating effort to entreat Hashem to give us rain. It starts out with a set of fast days that are for Yechidim only, for the I guess, Tamid HaChamim, Rabbanim, Yechidim. Yeah, we're going to be starting on 24, 12B, and I'm toward the bottom.
12B.
Yeah, that's good. Today is Daf is Yud Gimel. We're just getting a head start. And so the first set of fasts is the Tainus of Yechidim. It's a minor fast, not really universal. And then if that's not effective, and we still have a drought that continues, then there's a low-level, minor tainus that's imposed upon everybody. That's a bahab also, Monday, Thursday, Monday. If that's not successful, if there remains a fast, then it's another. Then the Beis Din issue a high-level tainus tzibur with all of the restrictions of a Tisha B'Av. And then if that's not effective either, then there's a seven fast set that just keeps going until pretty much the end of the rain season. In any case, so it says here that one of the things that you're not allowed to do during the first universal high-level set of fasts, which is the one here described in the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Beis, is in addition to the prohibition against eating and drinking, there's also the regular Tisha B'Av restrictions, and then there's also Asurin v'Malacha, Isur Malacha. The Gemara says, V'shlama kolu isbehu ta'anud. The Gemara at the beginning, about seven lines up from the bottom. Gemara says, V'shlama kolu, I understand all those other restrictions, isbehu ta'anud. Those things at least are enjoyable. You're trying to cut back on the ta'anugim in the spirit of the fast. That's the point of the fast. Rechitza v'sicha v'tasha shamita, I understand those are ta'anugim. But malacha, tsarhu. But why would the Chazal have forbidden us from working? Work isn't ta'anug, work is tsar. They should have added to the malacha, but they took it away. Amar Rav Chista, so that doesn't make sense, Sigmar is asking. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba, Amar Kra. Rav Chista said from Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba, it doesn't actually give an answer, doesn't explain it. He just says, well, it's based on a pasuk, it's a source. Kadshu tzom, kiru atzara, isfu zekenim katzaras. So the limud is, ma'atzaras asr b'yasiyas melacha aftanis, asr b'yasiyas melacha. It's a pasuk in Yoel, in Treyasar, it's a pasuk in Navi, it's not in the Chumash, so it's not a real drasha. It's an indication that the Chazal were being guided by that fast days. This pasuk serves as the basis for a number of details of fasts. So this one, we're focusing on Keatzeres. Kachu Atzara, that has a kind of a Kedusha to it, a certain sense, that has Yisr Malacha. And that's why that's the basis for the rule that you're not allowed to do Malacha on these high-level fasts that they impose for the drought. Mar says, well, hold on a second. How seriously are we making the connection? Ima atzeres me'orta, aftanis nami me'orta. So if that's the case, then you should say, just like the yontif itself, atzeres, which is a full 25-hour long day, so Tisha B'Av itself is 25 hours, the Yisr Malacha ought to also follow that same time frame, and it doesn't. And it doesn't. Now, it never explains over here, how does it know that it doesn't? That's going to be on the next daf, where they make that point clearly, that the Yisr Malach is only daytime, not nighttime. Amar Rabbi Zeira, L'didim, Mefarshali, Minei, Midir Rabbi Yirmiya, Baraba, Amar Kra Isfu Zikenim. No, because Rabbi Zera said that I've heard this explained based on the pasuk Isfu Zikenim, because one of the phrases in that pasuk is gather the Zikenim. Well, gathering the Zikenim is a daytime activity. Rashi just says it's a daytime activity because you don't bother people at night; they're at home. So it's a daytime activity. It's a daytime Isra Malacha, and therefore Dumya the Asifa Zikenim, Asifa Zikenim Biyom, Aftsom Nami Biyom. Just as the Asifa Zikenim would be a daytime kind of a thing, you don't call meetings at night. It's an Isra Malacha also only Biyom. Mara says, well, hold on a second. Ve'emame Tihara. So then, how do you know that it's all day long? Maybe it's only the second half of the day. It's not exactly clear what the Havamina over here is. Emame Tihara Tihara means the middle of the day. Mara says, well, Amarav Shesha, Berei de Rabidi, Messiah le Rav Huna. You know, that seems to indicate he answers. He doesn't directly answer the question. He kind of says, well, it seems that the Tanayim in creating these rules were guided by an attitude that Rav Huna the Amora expresses to us. You got to get their chronology right. The Tanoyim made these dinim. These are Amorayim trying to figure out what was in the minds of the Tanoyim when they made these halachos. And so it says this seems to suggest that Rav Huna's depiction of what happens on fast days is accurate. The Amar. Rav Huna depicted the fast day as being Meitzafra Kinufya. You get together in the morning. And therefore, it's very clear that this would happen even starting from the beginning of the day. Heichi Avdi. This is all asking, like, how does Rav Huna imagine this to happen? Meitzafra, if you get together in the morning, so what else happens during the fast day? Heichi Avdi. What would they do? Amar Abaye explains, well, Meitzafra, from the early morning, Ad Palga Diyoma, until noon, they would get together and discuss what kinds of community issues there are brewing and that they would maybe be able to address. This is all happening, on fast days. In the afternoon, you lane. Don't know why it takes so many hours to lane. It just says in the afternoon, you spend a quarter of the day, good 3 hours or so, laning Karina Besifra v'yaftarta, you lane and you read Psukim in Navi, Mikan ve'elech, but in the last quarter of the day, last few hours, Bo'ina Rachameh, we pray, we say tefillos, the ikar of the tefillos then is in the late afternoon on fast days, Shneamar, v'yakumu alam dam, v'yikru b'sefer Torah Hashem Elokeihem, revias hayom, revias misvad mishtafim l'Hashem Elokeihem. This is a pasuk in Nehemiah talking about one of the events of the kriya that they imposed when they discovered how much terrible assimilation the Jews in Bavel were involved in. The Gemara says, well, hang on a second. If this is all happening because of an inference from the psukim, and the psukim really refer only to the fact that some of the day, that part of the day, because it says in this pasuk over here that they would lane Revias Hayom, and Revias Hayom is Vad Mishtachlim. How do you know which part of the day was the part that was assigned to be for the laning, which part is assigned for the tefillah, which part was assigned for other issues? Mara says, maybe it's the other way around. Maybe this is the first part of the day, and it doesn't describe what happened in the last half of the day. Gemara says, nah, that's not the way you read the psukim. Lo salka daitach dechsiv. That's not reasonable, because it says in a parallel place in Sefer Ezra, both places, Ezra and Nehemiah, the first pasuk was from Nehemiah. This pasuk is from Ezra, describing same kind of an event when there was this reaction to the realization of how much assimilation and intermarriage was going on. It says, that's not what's going on, because there's another pasuk which says, Ve'ilayasfu kol chared b'divrei Elokei Yisrael al ma'al hagola. There's another pasuk that describes that, when we when we gathered together the Chared B'Divrei Elokei Yisrael about the terrible situation of the intermarriage rate. Ksiv u'b'minachas ha'erev kamti mitanisi v'efrasa kapay l'Hashem. It describes over here the actual time of day that the tefillos were going on. Therefore, that was the second, that was the last part of the day, and they put it all together. It comes out that the image of the fast day is that the asifa happens already in the morning, and that's why, and all of this is in all in order to build the model of how Isser Malacha starts from the morning. Okay. Okay, we're actually a big break and an enormous, this is all relevant Halacha Lamaisa coming up now. Amar Rav from Bar Papa. Amar Rav Chista. Rav from Bar Papa quotes Rav Chista. Rav Chista is going to be a very prominent name here in this whole daf here. Kol Shu Mishum Evel. Any kind of a ta'anis that whose main purpose is because of avelus, like what? Like Tisha B'Av. Kol Shu Mishum Evel Kegon Tisha B'Av. Or, for that matter, the truth is even actual avelus. Let's see. Which carries an Isser Rechitza. The premise over here is that we're trying to qualify an aspect of the prohibition against bathing. That you see in the Mishnah over here, it says that they when they imposed the fast days, they imposed also the full restrictions, like a Tisha B'Av type restriction of an Isser of bathing. Right? An Isser Rechitza, bathing. Now, for these purposes, bathing means showering or bathing. And we're being told over here in this Mishnah that there's a prohibition against bathing. Now Rav Chista is saying, you know, there are different times that the Chazal prohibit bathing, and they have different standards with different rules. The fast day described here over a drought, that is not the same as the fast day of Tisha B'Av, or generally speaking, the Isser against bathing during Avelus itself. So that's the split that's being made over here. When the Isser against bathing is driven by a crisis and the fast day over a crisis, that's not the same as a fast day over Tisha B'Av, over Avelus, or actual mourning, or Isser Rechitza against an Avel, not because of a crisis, but because of grief. So it says over here, whenever the prohibition, this is what Rav Chista is distinguishing, whenever the prohibition of bathing comes from Avel, like Tisha B'Av, as Rashi adds in, or like real Avelus, the Avel, Aser Bein B'Cham and Bein B'Tzonen. The prohibition is a full ban on bathing, including in cold water. Kol Shemishum Tanug, but when it's one of these prohibitions here in the Mishnah, which is because of a crisis, like so there's a fast day which has an Isser Rechitza, Kigon Tanis Tzibur, that is a more limited ban against bathing, and it's Bechamin Aser, but Betzonein Mutter. That's only a prohibition if it's hot water, but not if it's cold. Cold would be allowed. Okay, that's the important distinction that's being made over here. We're going to try to evaluate, you know, whether this is valid or not. Remember, these are Amoraim talking. Whenever an Amora makes a claim of Halacha, the Gemara always, as much as possible, attempts to judge whether it's consistent with information from Tanoim, whether there are Mishnayos or Braisos that weigh in on this question, diyukim that it can be made, or earlier statements of other Amoraim that can either support or can challenge the statement that's being made over here. So here's what we expect to happen. We're expecting kind of an evaluation of whether his claim here is right or wrong. Let's see. Amar Rav Yehuda bar Avin, Afana Nami Tanina. Rav Yehuda bar Avin presents a support. And he says, Afana Nami Tanina, I can tell you this is true from the Mishnah. Which Mishnah? It's our Mishnah itself. Where do you see from our Mishnah that the prohibition against bathing that this Mishnah referred to would specifically only ban hot water bathing but not cold water bathing? Well, because if you read carefully, what does it say in the Mishnah? It says there's a ban against Rechitza, and they lock the merchatzos, they lock the bathhouses. Now, bathhouses were always places of hot water bathing and I guess also like a sauna or a steam room. And whatever kinds of stuff was going on back then, but it was hot. So it says here they would lock those. So what do you see? You see that that's really the only concern. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says to him, what kind of an inference did you just make here? That is a totally weak and not valid inference from the fact that they locked the bathhouses. I mean, after all, the ibitzonein aser. Let's imagine that the Mishnah actually had a ban against even cold water bathing. What would the Mishnah have insisted that you do? It would have insisted that where would you find cold water? In the rivers. You would have to shut off the rivers. That's what you would insist. You would have to lock the rivers. You would shut off the rivers. What do you mean? You mean from the fact that it doesn't say that we shut down the rivers, you see that, no, that's not an option. You can't control the cold water, but you can at least control the hot. So to the extent you can lock the bathhouses, that much you do. And you have to just tell people, but you can't go bathing in the cold water either. In other words, you can't infer. That's this point. This point is, you made a poor, unsound inference from the fact that the Mishnah says you lock the bathhouses. Amar Rav Shesha Brei the Ravidi. No. You got it. Let me explain. Abba Pachi Kashele. Now let me explain to you what the diuk is. The diuk being, remember, this is the son of Rabbi Diba saying, let me just tell you what my dad was thinking. Mechdi. It already said that there's a ban against rechitza. If there's a ban against rechitza, there won't be any customers at the bathhouses. So noel in esamer chatzel slamali. Why do you have to even make the point of locking the bathhouses? So then elalashma mina bechaminas b'tzonin mutter. That's all he was saying. He was saying the fact that it even makes a point in the Mishnah that it's the bathhouses that you target. That means that the implication is that. The ban is really only against hot water bathing, but that there would be no reluctance to bathe in a river either. So in other words, so far we have an attempted support for Rav Chisda's claim here that the Mishnah only bans hot water bathing. We had a refutation of the report, but now we have again a kind of a pseudo support for this Rav Chisda's claim that cold water bathing is still permissible even on a Tanis Tzibur where there's an Issur Rechitza. Now the Gemara goes on, well, maybe we can suggest a support for his Shita from the following Braisa. So this thing we're recording now is from Tanoim, it's a Braisa. Kol Chayvei Tvilos Tovlin Kedarkan Bein B'Tishabav Bein B'Yom HaKippurim. This is telling us that people who are Tameh, you have to go to Mikvah to become Tahor, they're doing an action of tvila. Tvila happens in a mikvah, which is pretty similar to bathing. And so what is the rule? If there's a day on which there's an issur against bathing, does that also preclude toveling in a mikvah? Well, this braisa says that no, toveling in a mikvah is permissible even on Yom Kippur. Kol chayvei tvilos tovlin kedarkan bein b'tishabav bein b'yom kippurim. Now again, why would anybody tovel in a mikvah? Because they're tamei. In that world, people were going to mikvahs all the time for all kinds of tumas. In our world, we don't have any of this. The only reason anybody ever would go to a mikvah in our world, I mean in our world of the non-Hasidic daily toveling for davening, but in our world, the halacha only mandates it for nida. So therefore, all the rules and minhagim have all changed over the years when it comes to mikvahs from what it says here in the Gemaras. But in any case, the official halacha, the official policy on the books, is that you can tovel in a mikvah on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, despite the Issur Rechitza, because tevila in a mikvah is not considered to be bathing. So the Gemara says here, let's see what we can infer from the fact that this rule has made it onto the books, that you're allowed to tovel on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. B'mai, what are you toveling in? Hot water or cold water? Ilema b'chamin, what do you think? We're talking about toveling in a hot water mikvah? Tvila b'chamin miyika? Is there such a thing as toveling in hot water? Now, the next two words are a girsa question, but it doesn't matter. They're perfectly fine words. They can be there. After all, why is that so unreasonable? Because how are you supposed to get a hot water mikvah? The only way anybody ever had hot water baths and hot water pools was always, there was a place where they would be able to heat up the water from underneath a fire or something, and that they would be able to keep that tub going. That was always only a tub. It wasn't a kosher mikvah. Kosher mikvahs were so hard to heat up. The only way you could imagine heating up a mikvah that was like a built-in mikvah in the ground would be by heating up like some metal or ceramic kind of a thing and then throwing it in and then taking it back out, heating it again and throwing it back in. So then you'd be able to heat it up kind of for a little while, and then it just wasn't a realistic kind of a proposition. Mikvahs were not really heated. You could once in a while, you could, I guess, heat up a mikvah occasionally. But it wasn't really a regular kind of a thing. Therefore, it wasn't a realistic image for them to be addressing kind of without describing. It was just, the tefillah b'chamin is not really going to be likely. So therefore, assume mikvahs are cold. Once mikvahs are cold and you're being told they're special, it's a special permission to tovel on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, because it's not called rechitza, so what's the implication? Elala b'tzonein. So of course we're talking about your toveling b'tzonein, and the implication here is that whereas regular bathing in this thing would be not allowed, but toveling is allowed. The chayvei tefilas in hashachrina lo. We're only allowing you to use this thing, this pool, this mikveh, because it's a tefila. You're toveling ritually. You're not bathing. And therefore, you see, what did you learn out of all of this? You see that the implication is that even cold water bathing is not allowed on Tisha B'Av. Okay, so that was the support to that half of the ruling, that cold water bathing is disallowed on Tisha B'Av or a veilless thing. So that half of Rav Chisda's statement. Remember, Rav Chisda said that fast days, generally, you are allowed to bathe in cold water, and Avelis based on Tisha B'Av, not allowed in cold water. So this seems to be also assuming that you're not allowed to bathe in cold water on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says, nah, Amarav Chana Bar Ketina. He says, I don't see this. It's very likely that this statement about toveling in a mikvah on Tisha B'Av, lo nitzricha ela lachamei taveria, it might actually be talking about hot water. It may be talking about natural hot water springs, like chamei taveria, like the hot springs of Taveria. And therefore, it's saying that even though they're hot, you're still permitted to tovel in them. And therefore, since that's a possible interpretation of what the ruling was saying, so you can't prove, it's not committing to this, it's just saying you can't prove from this ruling alone that they were assuming you were not allowed to tovel in cold water on Tisha B'Av. It's possible that you're not allowed, but you can't tell from this state, from this ruling. Mara says, hold on a second. That's not plausible, because that same brisa about toveling in a mikveh or a minor, wherever you're toveling in, that you're allowed to do it on Tisha B'Av, has a continuation. What's the next line? The next line is the dissenting opinion. There's a differing opinion in the Tanoim. It says, Yahya Masefer, let's take a look at the next line of that brisa. Now, we don't have that brisa. It's just this was all known to them Baal Peh. So they all knew that the brisa kept going, and it said the following. Amar Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim. Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim says, that's not true. I'm okay with your toveling on Yom Kippur, but I don't think it's proper to let people tovel on Tisha B'Av. Kedai hu beis elokeinu le'abed olav tzvila pa'amachas b'shana. I don't think that you have to encourage or allow people to tovel on Tisha B'Av. You know, let them mourn a little bit over the Beis HaMikdash. They don't have to tovel tonight. Wait until tomorrow night, and they'll go to mikvah. I don't think that's what Rabbi Chanina is kind of going to say. He's saying, you know, I think that it's appropriate to not let people tovel on Tisha B'Av.
If he says Tisha B'Av, how come with Yom Kippur, no?
No. No, because he's saying over here in a kind of a reflection of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, it shouldn't carry over to Yom Kippur. Why should that be Yom Kippur? I don't see it. I don't think it's about Chumrah. In other words, your Kal V'Chomer would be good if this were about, because Tisha B'Av is like almost as Chumrah as Yom Kippur, and therefore that's why. I don't think he's saying, making it seem as if it's about the chumrah of Tisha B'Av. It's just about the commemoration of Tisha B'Av. So in any case, he says here, well, so now if that's the case, what do you think that he was talking about? He was saying, so therefore, don't tovel in chamei tzveria? That's what he was saying. But that what? But that look, if you can go bathing for free, like for nothing, for without cause, without it being a tevila in cold water, so then you wouldn't be giving up tevila for that day. You would just find a cold water mikveh, and you would just tovel in the cold water mikveh. In other words, if the way we're reading this whole, the context of this braisa is, it's talking about hot water tevila, because cold water tevila was always perfectly permissible. Even bathing cold water is permissible. If that's the way this ruling was assuming, then it wouldn't stop anybody from tofeling. You would just find a cold water mikveh, and then you would tofel. So the whole difference between hot versus cold, it doesn't really capture the spirit of what Rabbi Chanina Kanakon is trying to do. Let the people not tovel. But if tevila b'chamin was the only thing that was being restricted, so then he didn't accomplish his purpose. He's obviously assuming over here you wouldn't have the opportunity to go to mikveh at all on Tisha B'Av. So it's pretty clear, the Gemara says, that this b'raisa was v'yamret b'tzonin muta yirchatz b'tzonin. I mean, the guy could even bathe b'tzonin, so of course he could tovel b'tzonin. So presumably that's not really that reasonable an interpretation of the ruling. Presumably the ruling must be assuming cold water. Otherwise you wouldn't be foregoing tevila. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, no, not necessarily. It could be, I mean, we did say we're talking about Tveria, right? So we're talking about Chamei Tveria. You're in Tveria, I guess. They don't have cold water places to tovel. I mean, I don't know if that's true. I guess the Kinneret was cold water. I don't exactly know what's going on. But he is assuming over here, Papa said, it's Ba'asra Delashliach Tzonin. We're talking about a place where you don't have access to cold water. So then if your only option is hot water and we're being told, don't do it. So that's... So we can understand that on Yom Kippur you'd be permitted to use Chamei Tveria and other places. You have a cold water option. You can always bathe in the cold water. Maybe that's right. In other words, you don't have any evidence one way or the other from this particular braisa. Okay, Tashma. Now we'll see if we can prove one side or the other side of Rav Chista's ruling another way. Tashma. Kisha Amru Asr bin Malacha. Okay, so here we're being told there's a tosef that says in the side that qualifies three details of the rule that we said of the fast days. It says, Kisha Amru Asr bin Malacha. When it says that on fast days, again, the context of this braisa is the fast days. Now, the fast days that we mentioned right here on Yud Beis Amud Beis, the fast days of, when there's a drought and you have the fast days and you have all these restrictions, and one of the restrictions being Isr Malacha, Lo Amru Ela Biyom. So this is what I was referring to before, is that you see from here that the Isra Malacha is only a daytime Isra Malacha. And then, Aval Balayl Mutar, Kisha Amru Asr Ben Ilas HaSandal. Okay, he's going to now qualify the prohibition against wearing leather shoes. It says, when they forbade you from wearing shoes, Lo Amru Ela Be'ir, Aval B'Derech Mutar. But this Tosefta is saying that, look, if you have to walk around outside, B'Derech, that's mutter. Haketzat. Well, so then how do you balance this? How do you balance b'derech is mutter, but b'ir is aser? Yotzi l'derech noel. Okay, when you find yourself going on the road, then put your shoes on. Nifnas l'ir. But when you come off the road, when you're just back in the local streets, then take your shoes back off. Choleitz. Okay, so that's the qualification on the Yelsa Sandal. Neither of these things relate to us. Okay, she'amru aser b'rechitza, but this is the part that's relevant to us. The Braisa says that when the Mishnah asered bathing on the fast days for droughts, lo amru ela kol gufo. That's only a full body bath. Aval pani yad v'raglav, but if you're just washing your hands, face, and feet, mutar. That they never forbade. You could always wash your hands and face. So that part, what does that prove? So what does that prove? Nothing entirely yet. Let's see. V'chein ata motzei b'menuda ubi avel. And now this braisa says an important line here. It says, and this same distinction is applicable even for person in nidui. Okay, we don't know anything about nidui. Ubi avel. And that's true about an avel also in shiva. That's going to be an important line. That in avelus, the avel is allowed to wash his hands and face. Now the Gemara says, my lav akulu ubemai. So, okay, so here's what the Gemara is doing. It's saying, look, that last line where it equates the distinctions being made, the Yisr Melacha distinction, the Nil Sasana distinction, and the Rafitza distinction, those three happen to be that all those three are restrictions that apply in Avelus, as well as in the fast days over here, as well as in Tisha B'Av. So the point is, when it says the distinctions here, it says that's true also for Avel. So what is that referring to? A, B, and C? Or just some part of them? We would have said, obviously it's referring to all of them. My lava kulu. We just said, rule distinction A, distinction B, distinction C, and we said, and that's also applicable to Avelus. That those same restrictions for an Avel are also qualified in these ways. The Gemara says, my lava kulu, uba mayaskina. So if that's true, then we were being told that the Avel is allowed to wash panav yada viraglav, right? That's what we're being told here, according to this braisa. But look, what kind of water? Ilema bechamin? You mean you're allowed to wash panav yada viraglav bechamin? That we know is totally unacceptable. Panav yada viraglav, misharu, that's not true. Are you allowed to wash your hands and face with hot water? Vehomer of sheshes. But Rav Sheshes, the Amora of Sheshes, says, Avel asher lehoshet etzbo bechamin. The Avel is not allowed to wash even his finger in hot water. He can't stick his finger in hot water. So hot water is totally denied the Avel. If that's the case, the only discussion about washing for an Avel is cold. If cold water is the only thing that the Avel is allowed to use, then very obviously it's cold water bathing that's forbidden for the Avel. Once cold water bathing is forbidden for the Avel, elalav bitzonein, and because it's cold, even cold water bathing is forbidden for the Avel, then it's very clear. What's very clear? It's very clear that cold water bathing for the Avel is forbidden, and the Gemara says that's true about Kisha Amru. That means that's even applicable for the regular fast days. In other words, the Gemara, the Braisa says, when the Mishnah and the Tanai made the regular fast day rules and restrictions about bathing, that carries over to the Avil too. We figured out from the Avil rules that the context must be cold water hand washing is okay, cold water bathing is disallowed, carry it right back to the fast days, and therefore there's no distinction between Avil and fast days, and that's a rejection against Rav Chista's leniency about this rule about cold water bathing on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara on the fast days. The Gemara says not necessarily. Lo liol mechamin. No. Hold on. Let's go back to this. We are going to allow you to bathe in cold water on fast days, and the prohibition against refits is only hot water. But as far as that line that bothers you, when we equate the fast day rules with the Avelus rules? Ashara. It doesn't refer to C. It doesn't refer to that limitation on Rechitza. That one doesn't carry to Avelus. Okay, is it realistic? I don't know. But that's the way the Gemara says. You must say something like that. Ashara koi. So with respect to Rechitza, it doesn't carry over to the Avelus, because Avelus is not true. Avelus, you don't have any cold water bathing, you don't have any hot water bathing, you don't have any cold water for Avelus, we're not permitting you to bathe in cold water. And therefore, to make the distinction between, hold on a minute, what's the logic now? We're separating the Tanis rules from the Avelus rules. That in Avel is never allowed to touch hot water at all. Cold water, yes, allowed to wash panav yada viraglav, presumably, but not allowed to bathe in cold water. On fast days, the ban is only on hot water, but cold water bathing, full body bathing, is permissible. And therefore, the distinction between what happens on a fast day versus what happens on a velus is possibly as Rav Chista said. And the fact that there is a line in the Braisa that seems to equate them, you have to interpret that line to not be equating the fast days with the Avelus for Rechitza purposes, only for Yisr Melacha and for Ne'ilas HaSandal.
Would you say that on the fast days you could use hot water for your hands and feet?
But the fast day washing, you could even... Oh, hot water? For the hands and feet?
You're saying no cold water you can do. Full bathing. Full body. So what about your
It's possible. Feet? It's possible that you'd be allowed to do hot water hands and feet washing on fast days. Right. It's not compelling, I think, from this, but it certainly is possible that this would allow that. In other words, that to that extent, it's possible that the Braisa would permit hand washing. But you can't tell for sure. Because once that's not the context of this rule, it's only... Hold on a minute. No, you're totally right. No, that's not... Okay, you're totally right, Mort. The point of the Braisa is to say, on fast days, there's a distinction between full body versus... And the full body restriction, according to Rav Chisda, is only a hot water full body restriction. That's the pure context of the Braisa, of course, 100%. So the point of the Braisa is that hand washing in hot water is being allowed... By strength of this Braisa over here, the Mishnah's restriction is only on hot water, according to Rav Chisda. But when it comes to real Avelos, different standards apply. Only cold water is anyway allowed. And as far as how far the Isra Chitzas, that would have to be discussed separately. It'll amount to being the same thing, is that only cold water, full body bathing is forbidden, but hand washing, cold water hand washing for the Avel would be permissible in any case. But what you said, 100%. Okay, Tashma. Well, let's see if we can prove whether he said right or wrong a different place. The Amar Rav Abba Rebbe Abba HaKohen. Now this Tashma. The Amar Rebbe Abba HaKohen Mishum Rebbe Yossi HaKohen. I can't tell for sure. Are these Tanoim or early Amorayim? I don't know. But anyway, it's Rebbe Abba HaKohen is quoting Rebbe Yossi HaKohen. Maisa Mesa Banav Shel Rebbe Yossi Ben Rebbe Chanina. Okay, you know, it happened once that Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Chanina's children once died. They're achatz b'tzonein kol shiva. And they're telling us here that, you know, that he bathed in cold all week. So what are you supposed to learn out of this?
It was an
istinus. Okay, it doesn't bring that up as an option. I don't know why. Maybe he was an istinus, and maybe that would account for why, but it seems to not be what's going on. So assuming that he's modeling normal avelus behavior without being labeled as an istinus, then what you see is that you're allowed to wash betzonein kol shiva. What are you supposed to learn out of this? That what? That the whole restriction for the avel, what are we supposed to learn out of this? That you're allowed to bathe in cold water, fully bathe in cold water during Avelus, during real Avelus. So if that's the case, so this is supposed to be an attack against Rav Chisda's ruling that even cold water bathing are forbidden during Tisha B'Av and other Avelus-based Rechitza bans. Okay, so it's supposed to be a disproof to Rav Chisda, who said that in Avelus, the prohibition is even on cold water. Over here, we're seeing that cold water wasn't the problem.
We hold that now that if you're an oven, you can go to the mikvah every day?
This would say over here that anyway, you could go to mikvah. Oh, you mean during Avelus itself?
Yeah.
Real Avelus.
During the Shiva.
Real Avelus. Yeah, that's what it would say. You'd be allowed to go to mikvah during during Shiva also. But again, it's not relevant to us. That was only relevant in their time when mikveh meant I was tameh, now I need to be tahor, so that when I'm roaming around the house and handling everything, I don't make everything tameh also. But in our world, they wouldn't allow it in any case because yisur tashmish during the whole avelus, so that would not be. So they don't allow mikveh during shiva at all. So in any case, the Gemara answers, no, hold on, you didn't understand the story. Remember, we are talking about somebody who lost his children. Now, you might have imagined when you heard that his children died that they maybe died in a catastrophe where they died simultaneously. That's not what happened. It was like a plague was going on, and one child died, and then subsequently another child died. And so the avelus that we're talking about over here was when tikisha techafuhu avalav or avelav, when the avelus was connected, was one ran into the other, so it was a double avelus. It was the avelus that we're talking about was the second avelus. And then there are different rules. When a person is an avel and then the avelus extends, because of a different relative. Desanya tachfuhu or tachfuhu avela v'revala zeh or zeh. Like it says in a Braisa, that distinction is clear from the Braisa, from the Tanoim, that if a person's avelus runs into a second avelus, then that second avelus hichbid saro mekal b'tzar. If your hair is too long, you're allowed to cut it off and trim it. Mechabes k'suso b'mayim, and you can wash your clothes at least minimally in water. Amar Rav Chista parenthetically says, remember, it's only a minimal washing, and it's only a minimal hair cutting. B'tzar v'lo b'misparayim, b'mayim v'lo b'netzer v'lo b'chol. And so the point of this being that you can't prove anything from Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Chanina's bathing in cold during Avelus because that was the second week of Avelus. So you can't prove anything. So we're back to no evidence to prove or to disprove Rav Chisda, so presumably his argument stands. Okay, Amar Rava. Now what's going to happen now is that we are about to encounter two different traditions about what Rava rules about the bathing of the Avel. We've kind of slid into Avelus discussions now. So now the Avel is forbidden from bathing, and Rava gives you one ruling, and then there's an Ikka the Amri about 10 lines down at the Amar Beis, where it gives you the opposite version, two traditions about what did Rava say. We apparently over time lost track of Rava's ruling on this, and then we're going to go through exactly the same proofs and attacks, just whereas for the first statement, the proofs and attacks are going to be for the second statement, attacks and proofs. So we'll just have to see what I'm talking about. Amar Rava. Rava says, Avel mutter lirchotz bitzon in kol shiva. Rava says that an Avel in shiva has an isur rechitza, but it's only cham, and he's allowed to bathe in cold. Kol shiva. Midi hava bisra v'chamra. Just like we know that the Avel is allowed to eat basar and drink wine. The rule of, there is a restriction against basar v'yayin for an onein, pre-burial. Person loses a relative before the burial, there's an isra against basar v'yayin, but then after burial, that restriction is off, and that the avil is allowed to have basar during shiva and is allowed to drink wine during shiva. So Rava says, also allowed to bathe. Even though those things are enjoyable activities, they didn't ban rechitza. Gemara now says, okay, hold on, Meser, that can't be, because of the following ruling. Here's what it says. It says, Ein habogeres rasha l'navelis atzma b'yimei evel aviha. That's what it says in this. It looks like it's a brisa. Brisa says that a bogeres, which is an older single girl. Technically, a bogeres becomes a bogeres, you know, even before she's 13 years old. But it says here that she, once she's a girl who's marriageable, she's not. It says the wording of the brisa here is not allowed. Tosas immediately changes that to not required to make herself all disreputable looking during avelus for a parent. In other words, even during Shiva, she doesn't have to make herself all disreputable. So therefore she has leniencies. In other words, the concern over the shidduch issue is enough to override avelus restrictions. How far are we going with this? What are the specific rules that are being overridden because of this? So here's what it says. It says, first things first. That's one exception that's applicable to a bogeres only, but hanara rasha. But if she's too young, she's not even a bogeres, but she is bat mitzvah. So she's just a bat mitzvah girl for the first few months where she's not really looking for a shidduch or anything, and she's not even somebody that people would be paying attention to. So then she, rasha, which Tosfos means, but she is obligated to observe all the regular rules of avelus. Okay, so now, you see the following, that their regular girls are not allowed, have avelus bans, except the bogeres does not have because of the concern of the shidduch. So my la verechitza. So what does it mean that she is not required to appear like a regular avel would be, all kind of repulsive looking. So it says here, in what way? So my la berachita, doesn't that mean she can't bathe normally, but the pogeres, we allow her to bathe. Okay, well, if that's the rule, that the bogeres is given permission to bathe, ubamai, what is she bathing in? Ilema bechamin? What, are we giving her permission to bathe in hot water? Eina bogeres rasha? So then if that's the case, then we would be saying that a girl who's not looking at Shanara would be forbidden from bathing, let's say, in hot water. This older girl can take a bath in hot water, but that's impossible. The Ha'amar Rav Chista Avil Asher Lahoshid Etzba'o B'chamin. And he presumably, the Gemara doesn't think that this would be something that could be overridden by the Shidduch concern. Not obvious to me why not. But it says Elala B'tzoni. So the only permission that's being given to the Bogeris is to bathe so that she should look nice. And presumably that means bathe in cold. And therefore the implication being that regular Avelim not allowed to bathe in cold. The Gemara says not necessarily. It could be that we don't give her any permission to bathe at all in cold. And all we're going to permit her to do is put on makeup. Lo, akicho lupirchus. No, maybe we're only permitting her to put on makeup. But bathing not allowed. So you can't prove anything from the fact that we have a single eligible girl, is allowed to violate some of the Avelus laws for the sake of the shidduch. That maybe that only extends as far as makeup. So you get the impression from here that the makeup restriction is weaker than the rechitza restriction. And the Shulchan Aruch, they actually point out that the makeup restriction has in some ways a greater stringency than the rechitza restriction because it lasts even for shloshim. But it rarely applies because it's not going to apply to single girls. This rule is accepted. And so in any case, you don't see evidence over here that Rav is wrong. At least the Rav's permission of Rechitza is... Hold on a minute. I get it backwards again. Rav was permitting you to Rochitz B'tzonin. Every Avil could bathe B'tzonin. Every Avil could bathe B'tzonin. So when we're permitting the Bogeris to do something that regular Avelim are not allowed to do, what he means is it can't be referring to bathing. Because cold water bathing, everybody's allowed to do. Hot water bathing, we didn't permit her to do because she could clean herself even with cold water. So the restriction, the makeup restriction is the chiddush of the Braisa, that we allow her to wear makeup. So that, again, that's consistent. So we're seeing that the makeup restriction is greater than the rechitza ban. All right. Now the Gemara says here, well, let's see, can we prove lema misayayale? Maybe we could prove that Rav is right from the following. Amar Rav Abba Kohen, Mishum Rabbi Yosi HaKohen. Rav Abba Kohen said in the name of Rabbi Yosi HaKohen, Maisa Maisa Banav Shal Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Verachatz Bitzonin Kol Shiva. This is that same event that we saw on the other page down here. That Rabbi Yosi, then Rabbi Chanina, lost his children, and he bathed. And it says that he bathed Kol Shiva. So doesn't that prove, like Rabbi said, that an Avos is allowed to bathe? Mara says, no, you can't prove anything. We just said earlier, we're talking about an unusual case of Avelus, where it was the second Avelus after the first week. The first week he didn't. The second week is allowed, therefore it doesn't prove anything. Okay. And Amar Afista B'tar V'lo B'misparayim B'mayim V'lo B'netar L'lo B'chol V'lo B'yohol. So this is the end of the argumentation that was trying to either prove or disprove Rava's first statement about that an Avil is permitted to wash, to bathe the Tzonin. Now, Ikad the Amri, others have everything backwards. Rava didn't say it's permissible. He said the opposite, that Avil is not allowed to bathe in cold. Avil Asr B'Tzonin Kol Shiva. And now let's start evaluating. Maishnami Basar V'yayin. Well, hold on a second. Now, his opening line about comparing it to meat and wine, he says that he's not allowed, the Avil during Shiva is not allowed to bathe in cold. What about meat and wine, which is permissible? That's different. Hasam lefechuche pechadehu the Avid. Now, that's different. We're only permitting him to have meat and wine in order to cope with, because it's therapeutic. because it'll help him cope with his grief. But that's not relevant for bathing. Gemara says, Lehmim is Sayayale. Now we think that we can, all the things that on the top of the page were disproofs, now are proofs. Lehmim is Sayayale. Ena Bogeres Vashal Denavala Asatma. That Braisa that says that the Bogeres is. Lehmim is Sayayale. Ein HaBogeres Vashal Denavala Asatma. The Bogeres is not obligated to look all unappealing. Hanara Rasha, but other girls have to. The Ma'ilema Bechamanina Bagaris Vashavi Amar of Kista Avaloshidasval Bechamina. So it can't be hot water because nobody has permission. So it must be talking about cold water, and cold water bathing presumably is therefore not allowed, and that seems to support Rava, who said not allowed. Mar says doesn't prove anything. Love a Kichel Pirchas, because no, it doesn't prove anything, because after all, maybe we're talking about Kichel Pirchas, and at this point, the Gemara could have, but doesn't, raise the second proof, the second argument about the story with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, lost their children and bathed, and what does that imply? And it's a set two avelos in a row. It doesn't bring that up here, but it could have. And I think that the Gemara should have thrown in a vechule, as if you should on your own work through the argumentation. And the reason I'm saying so is because look at the next line. Amar Rav Chista, Zos Omeres. Rav Chista says, this, and of course it's a vague antecedent, what's this? But that's going to be a big deal here. This indicates, proves, shows that Avel is Aser B'Techboses Kol Shiva. This shows that you can't, that the Avel can't wash and wear clean clothes during Shiva. It's an interesting thing. You look at all the Hilchos Avelos, and this shows up as a prohibition against the Avel, but it doesn't seem to be emphasized. And Rav Chista seems to think that it's unclear whether this is forbidden, and he therefore has to make a point of, you see, that this indicates that there's a prohibition against an Avel during Shiva from wearing and doing clean clothes.
What about clothes that he's sweating? Is it different?
What about clothes that he's sweating in? Same, like, it doesn't make the distinction. It doesn't make that.
The 9 days.
Yeah, well, it doesn't make that distinction, and it's you would have to work on that separately. But just in terms of the basic prohibition, it doesn't even make it clear. So he says, no, this makes it clear. So what is the thing that you're looking at to make it clear that there's a ban against laundered clothing? Rashi says, well, from the fact that a girl normally can't wear makeup. So you see that. Probably the same thing for laundering. That's a really weak source, if that's really all it is. So Rekiv Eger on the side just says, hold on. This is totally not at all what's going on. He really doesn't like this comment of Rashi. I have the impression, I think that the Rashi on Tanis may be a pseudo-Rashi. I'm not that sure. Is that so?
That's quoted in the first daf, really.
On the first daf, right. I think that the Rashi, this is a strange thing for Rashi to have said. Rashi wouldn't have said something like this, because it's a total mistake. Because this same exact exchange with Rav Chista, everything, all comes up in Moed Katan also. And over there, the Zos Ameres was that straight-out line that when you have double Avelus, you're allowed to wash your clothes. That's the clear evidence that if it's a regular Avelus, you're not allowed to wash your clothes. That's very obvious. It's a very compelling argument. That's Zos Ameres. And that is the way it was learned earlier. And that would have been what Rav Chista would have said over here. But that's if the Gemara had finished that second argument, it would have finished off on that line of double Avelus. That would have demonstrated that you can't do laundry and you can't wear freshly laundered clothes during Shiva.
Shabbos any different? It's full Shiva. Shabbos any different?
For Avelis, they don't make the distinction. And on Tanis over here, you've already seen one place where there is an indication that they're lenient about the Shavuot Shechalbo restrictions for Shabbos, but you don't see it for in real Avelis. Then the Gemara is, I don't think that we're going to be able to finish the daf, but we'll at least be able to get to the end of the Avelis sugi over here. The Gemara says, the Hilchasa. Okay, so now we're lucky. The Gemara gives us an actual psak, a bottom line on many of these issues. Avel aser lahoshit lechotz kol gufo bein bechan bein mitzonin. Okay, that's psak number one, and we accept this psak. Hold on a minute. Yes, that the psak is that an avel is not allowed to bathe kol gufo even in cold water, kol shiva, aval pana yada v'raglav bechamin aser bitzonin mutter. But pana yada v'raglav, of course, like we've said several times, he can't stick his hand into hot water, but cold water, washing hands and face is allowed during real avelus. Aval lasuch, afil kol shiva aser, but to smear any kind of a cream or a lotion or a cologne or a perfume or something, not allowed. Kol shihu asur, even hands and face. The imlaveres has zuhama mutter. But if it's just a deodorant, that's permissible in real avelus. It's permissible in real Tisha B'Av also. The only time deodorants are asur is Yom Kippur itself. Any situation other than Yom Kippur, there's a permission to use deodorants on Tisha B'Av itself and real avelus also, and just not on Yom Kippur, where Lavaris has zuhama to deodorize, which is not allowed. So it's an Isur Sicha on Yom Kippur, but other situations allowed. We could keep going, but the sugya now totally changes into the discussion of Aneinu on fast days. So, and it's already 10:05. Erez, you have a thought?
What is that?
I think we'll stop here.
Okay.